You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The NFL podcast has traded Greg for a conditional third.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. Just one hero with me, Mark Sessler. Listen, in our league, you need to make moves in a non-sentimental manner. And we thought at this time, moving away from Greg was the right move.
I think the listeners will ask, did we get value? Because a conditional third for a really, dyed-in-the-wool journo who has done a lot of great work on our show. I mean, what is a conditional third
he's
getting
like a
us?
Franchise star. And we're just giving him up for a conditional third. Maybe
reckless.
We'll be fired. Yes, we're in the dead of June, quiet period of the NFL. So we're going to, just Mark and I, we're going to take you through everything that's going on in the league, the scant amount of news. We'll open up the mailbag and just have fun. That's all.
That's what we do, and it comes naturally to us. Oh. What's this?
What? Oh my God! Is that Kayvon Thibodeau's music? There he is!
Good to see you again.
Whoa!
Look at this.
Here he comes. Kayvon Thibodeau! The hat trick on Around the NFL podcast. Joined us draft night.
Come on now.
The next week. And now here we are with Warren G featuring the late, great Nate Dogg. Regulate. This is your walk-up music on the show. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. It's been a while. I'm happy to be back. Happy to be in the NFL.
I have to ask you a question. Do you remember us?
I had to ask your name before I walked out, but I do remember. I do remember.
Isn't it?
It's Mark with a C.
Yeah. Whoa, all right. Well, this is next level. You won me over.
Kayvon, like in baseball, the players get the walk-up music, and that's cool. I feel like a pass rusher, especially after a sack, there should be a stop down, an extended play clock. I know you get a celebration, but you were Warren G like pumps out of the speakers at MetLife Stadium. That'd be
cool. We do get like walk-up music, like third downs. You never hear. You probably don't pay attention, but like when third downs come, the music play.
That's
the music is really loud. That's the whole, especially if it's a home game. Come on.
How much? And I don't know if we're going to get into some of this as you begin your rookie journey in the NFL, like how different the college game coming from Oregon is now that you're in our league, as it's called. Like in college, was that like a big conversation point amongst the defensive players? Like, what's the song we choose? Was there a vote?
No.
Did it come from upstairs, PA guys?
It's not really a song. I think it's more of like what the tradition is at the team.
Right.
Because Oregon, we had like, it was the same song every week, but you knew it was the third down song. And when it came on, you were hyped.
Is it hard to pay attention when like music's blasting and you're attempting to like, formulate a play call as a group or something?
Well, you got
to
ask offensive players because on defense, most of the time when it's third down, you know the mission.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear that. So where are we at, Kayvon? So we just got through the spring, OTAs. I should ask you as a dogged journo, I should check in on your physical status. You were limited or didn't practice. You were in a red shirt, red jersey, working with a trainer on the side. I saw a report out there that it was a hip issue. Where are we at health-wise? Anything to be concerned about?
No, I'm 100% fine now. I think, you know, I did tweak my hip at a point, my hip flexor, you know, during OTAs. But after a couple weeks rest, you know, I'm back. I'm training full, and I'm ready to get back for training camp.
I like it. That's good. So you got it here first. And if you write your little blurbs, wherever you write your blurbs, cite Around the NFL. Oh, that's the source.
There will be sharp consequences
if you don't. Or just cite Kayvon Thibodeau, either one.
That's true.
Well, that's fair. So I was thinking, Kayvon, we were thinking about, like, as you begin this journey, we're much older than you. Grossly so. You were born in the 2000s, I imagine?
Yeah, 2000, exactly. Mm.
I mean, wow. I'm twice your age plus a few years. That's concerning.
Right.
Yeah, you guys are on the way out.
On the way out. It's no longer our world. But we have seen a thing or two. So I thought it'd be good to have a conversation. We call this segment with Kayvon Thibodeau the third time on the Around the NFL podcast. Know Your League. Okay. We know the NFL. We've covered it. This podcast has been going on since 2013. Kayvon hadn't even had his bar mitzvah yet at that point. He was a young 13-year-old boy. But now
still haven't had one.
Still waiting on that.
Yeah. So let's go over a couple things. Just curious if you know about it, if this is something you've already come across. Let's start with the idea of, now hazing is a bit of a dirty word now in the NFL. We had, of course, the Richie Incognito scandal with Jonathan Martin years ago, but it still goes on. And one thing that really stands out, Kayvon, I wanted to ask you about this. There was a podcast, fellow New York first round pick Garrett Wilson, wide receiver of the Jets, was on another podcast, probably inferior to this one, but I'm sure good if they got Garrett. And they talked about rookies having to pay for dinners. Fred Taylor, former great running back of the Jaguars and other teams, said to Garrett Wilson, you know they're going to run that bill up to like $75,000, that rookies have to pay for meals rookie year. And Wilson said he didn't buy it. Ryan Clark, another great former player, said you're the 10th pick of the draft. They know they got the money. Channing Crowder then said he thinks it's his decision. Are you concerned that you're going to be hit with that?
No, I'm not concerned. You know, I'm a guy who I'll definitely take care of my guys in D-line room. But as far as doing things that I don't want to do, I've never done it. I've always been a leader, not a follower. Ooh. So we set new standards.
All right, so let me give you a hypothetical from that same interview. Fred Taylor later in his career played with the Patriots briefly, and he said Tom Brady would come in there and buy $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 bottle of wine, take a sip, and say goodnight. What if it's now we know there's no Tom Brady figure involved with the Giants right now, at least not yet.
If there was, I don't think I'd
stand up.
Tom Brady wouldn't take a sip and walk out on me. He'd be there the whole night. And if he did walk out, I'd finish that bottle of wine.
What do you think about this? Years ago, Ryan Leaf, Chargers quarterback, he was the second round pick the year Peyton Manning came into the league. He had to pick up a tab. He told management about it, and then Junior Seau wiped him out following an interception in practice. Like, is there this code behind the scenes that you would then have to worry about if you were to turn down such a demand from your teammates?
I mean, I guess it just depends on who you are. I feel like I've gained a lot of respect from the guys around me, and I show respect to a lot of guys around me. So I don't think I'd ever have to worry about my physical health. But then again, I also wouldn't do anything that I wouldn't want to do. So peer pressure is not a thing for me.
I've got one for you. You know, you remember Tim Tebow, obviously, back when he was a rookie with the Broncos. And for our audio listeners, we're going to show a picture here. We can get that up on the screen.
People watching on the video, yeah.
This was the haircut they gave Tim Tebow, and I guess I would describe it as they shaved around, they shaved the top of his head, so he looks sort of like a friar from the Middle Ages. Would you accept that haircut if
I think I know the answer based on the first question.
But yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, how would you if a veteran said this is part of your rite of passage? How would you deal with that demand?
I would come through a different door. I would need to go through that door.
It's an absurd looking haircut.
Yeah, you know, there's things. As for me, I show a lot of respect to doing extra work. So if they say you're a rookie, you got to run five more. You're a rookie, you got to show up earlier. You're a rookie, you got to, you know, carry some pads, do something like that. That's respect. But as far as like, yeah.
This Tebow, I think you might look good with that haircut, though. I'm just saying
you get it first, and I'll just follow you. We'll do it together.
No. All right, let's go over some fan bases. Again, this is Know Your League. We've been around the block. He's born in 1980, 40s. So we, you know, there are negatives, but there are some positives. We know about these fan bases on a deep level. So we'll start with these. And tell me if you are aware of this or how plugged in you are. As a new face of the New York Giants, some heads up. The Patriots fans, they're very sensitive about the New York Giants because of 42 and 47, the two Super Bowls, or 46,
sure,
was it?
Sure.
Just something if you didn't know to be aware of, if you wanted to ever drop that in, pepper that in next time you guys have a matchup.
For sure.
He's factored it in. How about Eagles fans? You know about the Eagles fans?
They're fans of the Eagles.
Red eyes, small hands, known to bite. True story.
Very moody. Very moody fan base.
You guys listen to the fans?
Do we? We are. I mean, we are in some level.
Oh, fans, you guys are the fan. Yeah. I mean, I get it now. You guys are the liaisons. So it's guys, really liaisons. Now right. It's making sense. I'm like, yeah, I could care less.
Right. Bit. Like, they hate. Eagles fans hate when you bring up the fact that they once pelted Santa Claus with snowballs.
You know how much you could really set a fan base off?
How?
You just whoop them. You just beat them. That's it. You win the game. There's really nothing else to talk about.
So.
I like to go in the stadiums, and I like them to be quiet. I like graveyards, you know? When you go to graveyards, you get a peace of mind. So
right. When they're leaving midway through the fourth quarter,
man,
that's the good stuff.
Me, I tell them to come back. It's not over. Come back. Come back. Don't leave yet.
Take more punishment.
The show has just begun.
Do you know that Bills fans, when you play the Bills on the schedule of the Giants this year? I don't know. But eventually they will be. Bills fans will want you to know that they're the only team technically that plays in New York. They're going to try to give that to you as like a zinger.
Wow.
Does that bother you at all?
I hope you didn't come up with that one.
No. Listen, I'm a Jets fan. Right. Like they try to bring that at me.
Right.
I got to get some old school fans that say more hurtful stuff or something. That's like, oh, man.
You said something, Kayvon, the first time we ever spoke. You said one of your goals when you have conversations with people, you know, something like this, you want to leave having made an impression and make people feel like they know you
or know what
you're about.
Yep.
I'd like you to, if you could, try to know what Mark's about by the end of this brief conversation we're having. And if you're okay, Mark had just a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
That I haven't seen yet. I don't know anything about.
Right. Sure. I would ask you this because, you know, the New York Giants, from an Earth angle, historical angle going way back, do you believe that actual giants roamed the Earth?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. I mean, fact or fiction? I mean, that's a, you know, it's possible. Nothing's impossible.
Physical giant. Well, how tall are we talking? 50 feet?
I think you're talking.
There's actually
probably
a story. There's actually a story in the Bible that talks about that. So I couldn't say that it's not. Hey.
They're mentioned. I'm talking like 16, 17 feet tall, but very just a different, you know, species.
So there's this crazy thing I watched. It's like mountains. There are like mountain ranges and different like crazy things that are like these, like you say, these giants were too big to be buried. So they've basically encrusted into the mountain ranges. So like there's a video you could look up where it's like mountains are shaped like humans or shaped like some type of figure. So it's possible.
I think it is. The Earth is very weird. How about this? You know, you've just gotten to know Brian Daboll, your new coach. Just instinctually, do you think he's more of a front spoon or a back spoon when he is spooning someone?
I don't answer those type of questions.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think that was
all right. Forget
beyond
that one.
The pale. Next.
All right. Let's see. How about this? Dan and Mark.
Before you go. Let's not ask any more personal questions about any other men. I mean, let's just.
Well, how about if I ask a question about the two of us?
Does it involve spooning?
No. It's like, let's say Dan and I were to appear in front of you in wrestling tights and attempt to wrestle you. Could you beat us both?
So what's the newest thing that's going on in the NFL? Anything?
That's your answer.
All right, good pivot.
You know what? The answer is nothing. It's June 27th right now. But. You know, that's all good. So we're going to hear it. Let's wrap it up. This is where we're at. You ready? Any other questions yet?
I think I'm going to pass on my other questions at this point. It's
This is – so we're going to be
new
ready
deals.
For training.
I heard you guys are up for extensions. How's that going? You guys been negotiating?
Look at that.
Yeah.
We were in negotations. We got the deal done.
Okay.
You signed your rookie deal as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, but I'm worried about yours. I heard you guys getting some big money coming up. You guys have been doing numbers in around the NFL.
I'm beginning to be worried too.
We're doing, we did. I think we got a deal. I don't think it's in the territory of a top 10 pick in the NFL, but
there's gossip that they can only keep one of you. So my question is, where's, like, you know, are you guys both going to leave, or is somebody just going to take the
pot? Typically have a third, and we've kicked him off.
Yeah,
the
he's
show,
gone.
So we're getting,
so it's a process of elimination. By the end of today's episode, we're going to have a shadowy league figure from upstairs come and make a decision.
Yeah, I don't think you'll actually see him. I think he's just, you know.
Oh, it'll be phantom.
But it's like the Joe Pesci and Goodfellas scenario.
When you get back to your office, I think you'll just have, you won't see your name tag anymore. It'll just, it'll be blank and you'll know.
All right, you know more than we do.
Thank you, buddy, for coming on. We appreciate it. What else you got going on the rest of the summer during your break here?
Just training. You know, meeting with a lot of different people. You know, making sure that I'm ready to go back, being in, you know, full health and full shape. But yeah, enjoying the Cali sun until I get back, and got to enjoy that real New York heat.
I've heard about it. It's the humidity that gets you. As a native New Yorker, I can say that. Kayvon, thank you, buddy, and good luck. Can't wait to watch you ball.
Yeah, but you know. You're very insightful. I just think, you know, personal information shouldn't be aired. You know,
yeah, the spoon stuff with his head coach. That's
point taken. It's just a question.
Get the cardboard box out for you after that type of question.
I was just simply curious about that on my own. But I understand why you would not want to answer that.
So. You know, yeah, I think
that's fair.
I think you only got like two more shakies and. You might be on a different podcast soon.
Two more shakies for Mark Sessler. All right, Kayvon, thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
All right, Mark. We were making the quest towards friendship with Kayvon Thibodeau. Where do you think we stand after that conversation?
I think we got friend-zoned to some degree, and not in the way that we were angling for. You know, our show has a certain flavor to it. And I thought we pursued that flavor to some degree. I would not call that a home run out of the park in terms of his enjoyment of the event.
It was fine. I thought overall, I knew we were in for an interesting 15 minutes when before we started, Kayvon, you know, he's curious what we were going to be talking about, and then he looked at your computer screen, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Right.
If he sees the madness of a Mark Sessler question before we start, and sure enough, you know, he wasn't into all the questions, I would say, that came out of the mind of Mark Sessler.
Is it so wrong that I actually, when I think of certain individuals like a Brian Daboll, there are moments, I'm sure, with his significant other or whoever, it's fine with anyone, that he has spooned, and I'm curious as to which position he would prefer. Right. Not every man is a backspin.
I would say maybe there is a teachable moment in there.
I imagine there is.
In an ongoing quest to be a great interviewer, a la a Barbara Walters with the soft focused in 88, that type of situation, that maybe a lot of these guys don't want to talk about, like, spooning and the head coach, especially rookies coming into the league. That, you know,
that makes perfect sense.
Neither here nor there.
I was out of place potentially, and I think the follow up asking about you and I in tights taking him on in a grappling match probably was not the direction to go in either.
Gravedigger, how do you think that went? 1 out of 10.
3.
Excuse me, Gravedigger.
Gravedigger.
3 out of 10.
Okay. Well,
we got some good stuff about paying for dinner or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, real nugget.
All right.
Well, we survived, I think.
So far.
It put us ill at ease. I think you and I shared a couple looks during the whole process. I, you know, it's like, can someone come out of the wilderness and shoot me now?
Yeah, we're going to be all right. And I'm not giving up on the quest to be friends with Kayvon. I think we took a step back, I would say, though.
You know, friendship has those ebb and flow moments. And so, you know, we have to be resilient and seek his friendship in potentially a different way.
All right, let's hit a break and then do the news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
But you do want to be our friends,
right? I don't.
All right, let's get into it. Hey, Mark Sessler, Yark, let's spin.
Okay, I don't like that approach. But yes, we shall.
That's not a bad podcast idea. Spin forward with Mark Sessler.
I don't like the way it's being said
with Mark Sessler.
Here we go. Get like 68 tweets about that over the next 72 hours.
Let's start as we must. In this year, 2022. Deshaun Watson, let's check in on his situation. We'll start with the reporting that came out over the weekend. The Wall Street Journal's Andrew Beaton reports that the NFL will push for an indefinite suspension that would last no shorter than 1 year for Watson, who has been taking part in the Browns' offseason program. I think Cleveland Brass, which in general is laying low with this, Mark, and hoping, you can imagine and assume, that they're going to have Watson in some form on the field this season. But according to this reporting, the NFL is making a hard push to keep him off the field for at least 1 year. An indefinite suspension would potentially take him off the field for more than the 2022 season. And of course, he missed all of 2021. When everything was unfurling around him, the legal situation. And then we also got an update about the lawsuit and the ongoing litigation involving involving Watson. The Houston Texans were formally named as defendants on Monday in the ongoing civil litigation involving their former quarterback. This from Tony Busby, the Houston attorney, who at one time represented 25 different women with lawsuits against Watson. Many of them have been settled now, but there are still ongoing lawsuits. Today, we filed the first case of what will likely be many against the Houston Texans related to Deshaun Watson's behavior, Busby said.
Right. And that, you know, there are details inside the lawsuit against the Texans that I particularly, this one, I find disturbing. The Cleveland Browns kept saying over and over, we're confident with the homework that we did before we engaged with Deshaun Watson and made him the richest player in the entire league. But there's a quote inside this lawsuit that says, despite claims that it did extensive due diligence, not one question was asked by Watson's new employer, the Browns, of the victims about Watson's alleged behavior. No effort was made to obtain the police file or speak to the investigating officers. It's a terrible look for the Cleveland Browns because everything they've told us, not a surprise, sounds like an utter lie at this point. And they're in a disastrous situation if Watson is suspended for a year plus. His hearing will take place in front of Sue L. Robinson. It's going to be a little bit different than some of these hearings in the past where it would be Goodell's decision alone. And, I mean, it's notable that the NFLPA is going to defend Watson to some degree from any suspension it deems inappropriate or excessive. So there is another side to this, but it just feels to me like the NFL and all the reporting suggests are pushing to get him out of the mix for this entire season and completely reset the board for next year. And it could be longer than that too. And I think that's all we know about this case. It should be a year long suspension, in my opinion.
And the process has obviously kind of dragged out over the course of 2022. You remember there was a report last month that the NFL wanted to have this situation figured out in terms of potential suspension in June, and here we are now in very late June. So we'll see what comes out of this meeting with this hearing with Sue L. Robinson. So the Watson situation ongoing. We'll see what happens next in other news. God, the Browns got themselves in a whole heap of mess with this thing.
What a mess. I mean, it's like, you know, if you think where they were last offseason, where they had come off a playoff victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers, you thought that you were getting the better version of Baker Mayfield, you were the coach of the year, and I think that coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski, quietly has to be beyond absolutely incensed with what's gone down here because he's been put up in a terrible position. Jacoby Brissett potentially could be starting 17 games for a team that looks like they'll be the worst team in the AFC North, if that's the case.
In other news, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio reports that Saints running back Alvin Kamara is bracing for a suspension of at least 6 games. You will remember that Kamara is facing felony battery charges for allegedly throwing punches at an incident in Las Vegas. We'll see what this means for the Saints, but I think this is something that caught me a little bit by surprise. I remember when the news came out and there was some video taped evidence of what had happened, and now here we are in a situation where you can miss a substantial part of the season for a Saints team that, depending how you look at them, you could see them as a real NFC player, losing your best player for that amount of time potentially. Even if it got appealed down to 4 games, that's substantial.
Yeah, and I think it's part of it is the timing of it, because Florio noted that, you know, the NFL may wait until the legal process on this one plays out, but maybe it could be later in the season. But I think, you know, in that offense, which has obviously improved its wide receiver group, but Jameis Winston, it depends what version of Jameis Winston you get. But losing Kamara is not unlike losing a Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. I mean, is that important to him? And I think it's probably also taking fantasy heads and having their heads explode, because I don't know what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. Hey, look at you with the fantasy analysis there, Mark. That's a great point.
I am zoned in on when they're agitated about things.
Yeah, it makes him either somebody that you're going to drop, take off your board entirely. It's all over the map, but we need to see where that.
I'd stash him.
You'd stash him?
Well, it depends what kind of draft you're in. If people are scared off him, you grab him at a value zone, and then he's only out for 4 games, 4 to 6 games.
Could be 2 games.
Well, that's okay. A great point, Mark.
Thank you.
All right, time for news and notes presented by Upwork, where you can build the team that will build your business. Learn more at Upwork.com. This is just kind of moving the timeline of the story along, so I'll just pass it along here, Mark, and interested in your thoughts. 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, his timetable for throwing remains on schedule after offseason shoulder surgery, that from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. The expectation has been that Garoppolo had the right shoulder surgery in March, will throw over the next few weeks after he's been cleared, and that plan remains in place. So it's kind of a story, non-story, update, non-update, but I imagine there are certain people, Jimmy Garoppolo and his agent, for starters, the Niners, are probably cool with this, getting this information out here. Hey, he's okay. Everything's on schedule. He's ready to start throwing. He'll be your quarterback if you want him in September.
And yet, there's zero whisper at all about there being a market for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's a problematic scenario. I mean, you'd have to look at, like, in theory, the Panthers could be interested, but there's a Baker Mayfield situation there. You're not trading him to the Seattle Seahawks. And so what team out there wants to sign Jimmy Garoppolo for 26 or 24 plus million, but then you have him come in maybe 5 or 6 weeks before you're playing actual regular season games and acclimating him as a starting quarterback? It feels like a tough sell.
So you rule out any chance that they would deal within the division?
I don't rule it out depending on what they could get in return.
Right, because I feel like that would take precedence if they could get the best deal from Seattle. Not to say that this is something – it probably isn't reality. They don't want to trade him within the division. But also, I don't get the feeling that Kyle Shanahan is necessarily thinking that Garoppolo is a difference maker, hence why they're looking to trade him in the first place. So maybe that would almost be the best place to trade him. When you want to look at, depending on your perspective on this.
I mean, Shanahan seems so loyal to Jimmy G too, and like he's hung around much longer than people thought, and you know, started the entire season last year. And in reverse, I don't sense immense confidence in Trey Lance. It just seems like a little bit of a strange situation. But this is the thing: like the whole market changes for Baker Mayfield, for Jimmy G, when we get to camp and two starting quarterbacks have their knees wrecked or something. That's when the trade market goes crazy. And you'd have a situation like when Sam Bradford got moved for like a first rounder. Yes. Because the need suddenly changes. There's no need for Jimmy Garoppolo right now.
Trey Lance has worked with the 49ers first team offense during the offseason while Garoppolo has spent his offseason rehabbing here in Southern California. So Niners look like a team ready to move on, but they first need to be able to move their current quarterback or starting quarterback. So we'll see where that goes. All right. Finally, in the news. All right, Mark, here we are. The boxing, the NFL players boxing. Where do you come down on the NFL players boxing?
I mean,
UFC, boxing, whatever it is.
I've never made the effort to go watch one of these fights. I think that's indicative of my interest.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just going to pass this one along as well then, bud, that there's a matchup in the works between two of the great running backs of the past, you know, 20 years, or at least it's at certain points in their career. Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell squaring off. Who do you got? I'll tell you who I got. Adrian Peterson. You ever shake hands with that man?
No,
his hands, NFL honors. It was the year you stepped on Ryan Tannehill's wife's purse.
Lauren Tannehill's white leather purse, and heard something crack
you
and smash.
Definitely heard something crack, yeah. And we just kind of shuffled away quietly. Sorry, Gravedigger. He was on the Dolphins at the time. If it makes you feel better, I shook his hand, and he nearly broke every bone I have in my right hand. So I imagine he's a freight train when you put the gloves on. And Le'Veon Bell, you know, I don't have much feelings positive on his athletic ability, whatever the sport at this point.
Yeah, I'd put my lease car and our rental home up for bid on the fact that Adrian Peterson takes this. I mean, who do you trust that Le'Veon Bell is even training adequately?
Based on
just the
history,
the Le'Veon Bell
years?
Experience of the past couple of years. I don't know what he's up
and
to.
And you know Adrian Peterson's ready. That guy would love to get back in the league, but he did not. Did he play last season? All day?
He did.
Right.
Gravedigger.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Titans and Seahawks.
He had a couple weeks. He scored a touchdown against the Rams at SoFi Stadium.
What a moment.
And there was a whole news story about Adrian's handshake when the Titans signed him. So I think that it was like a thing that he had.
You're with us that he would take this bout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was News and Notes presented by Upwork, the world's work marketplace. Learn more at Upwork.com. That's what's happening in the news. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knix Anniversary Sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knix's biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knix leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
All right, buddy. Mailbag. When in doubt,
just go
break glass and get the listeners involved with the program. And I'll just be completely honest, Mark. Sometimes I send out the bat signal for the mailbag, and I don't get what I'm looking for. This time, the listeners stepped up. Some good questions, and I'm going to share them right now here on Around the NFL.
Good job by them. I do agree there have been times when the mailbag had very little to offer. I hope this is different.
All right, let's hit it.
You've got mail.
Wasn't it so great when you would, for you know, people who came of age in the 90s, when you heard the You Got Mail? It was like, oh, yes.
Oh, you're
interaction. Someone wants to connect with me.
It would speed up your pulse. It's not unlike when you're, you know, writing people online today and you can see that they're like typing and you know that something's coming and it's just like this is exciting. Right, for me.
Let's
for Gravedigger too. I can see the look on his face.
I don't know if he was around for the AOL
era. I'm talking about today's technology.
Of the internet. Oh, yeah, the dot dot dot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Especially if it's, you know, a certain individual.
Who would that be for you?
Well, I'm talking about Graver.
Oh, I see. Yes, absolutely. Do you guys communicate online often, Gravedigger?
Oh yeah, they do.
Yeah, we text like normal people. Okay.
Did she ever leave you hanging on red?
No.
READ.
Never. No, we both have red receipts turned off, so I actually wouldn't even know if she did. I like that strategy.
Interesting. Do you have yours turned off?
Yes.
You have your red receipt turned off? Does everybody do that? I like to keep it transparent.
Yeah. It's interesting. I know Erica talked about this on Split Ends, but she does it to like psychologically manipulate the people she's texting.
Shocker.
Oh, Ricky Hollywood. I wonder how she's doing.
I actually did text with her a little bit yesterday.
Oh, yeah. What's up with Ricky?
She seemed to be in good spirits.
Great.
Yeah.
Already miss her.
And then she asked me a question that I never responded to. So I'm turning the tables there to wreak psychological havoc
warfare.
With Ricky Hollywood. That's how you do it.
All right. Here we go. Let's get into it. Mailbag time. Let's start right here. Let's see.
Oh, this is kind of to both of us from Kevin Rogers. Would it be depressing or intriguing for you two to watch Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield battle for the Panthers QB job, given that your Browns and Jets once picked them to lead those teams?
Sam Darnold.
I would say it's ironic if that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, I kind of find it would be intriguing, actually. And the journey of those two has already been so depressing that it just comes full circle to where they're battling each other. I think that would be one of the more intriguing August plot lines.
Sure. And I, you know, a couple things. And I posted it a few months back before the draft, the shot of us at the Cozy Inn in Culver City, toasting to a new era of Jets and Browns football on draft night in 2018. Kind of sad in retrospect.
We were so overconfident. Just such fools and clowns.
Such fools. And then there is the other take, which is a deeply unpopular take, both on this podcast and elsewhere. I still believe on some level that Sam Darnold could thrive, or at least be good Baker Mayfield with the Browns proficient in the right setup. And I think Baker could look as bad as Darnold did if he was with the Jets and Panthers. I still think Darnold could win that debate, as sad as that debate has now become.
I appreciate your faith, but I, until proven otherwise, I think of Darnold more as a bottom five quarterback.
Well,
I apologize for feeling that way.
It's not my quarterback anymore. This is a tough one from Mike Atkins. Mark, what's one NFL storyline this summer no one is talking about, but should be headline news? My feeling on this is that that's really not how the NFL works anymore. That everything gets dissected. And if there was a story that was a big enough story, it probably has been discussed, but I don't know if anybody has any thought. Is there a starting quarterback coming off shoulder surgery outside of Garoppolo or some type of serious rehab that's kind of going under the radar?
I'm with you. I feel like the news cycle is so exhaustive. And we even on the show, I think, occasionally hit news topics if we're light that really maybe wouldn't make it in a busier time. Today could be an example of that. So I don't think that there's mystery storylines out there that fascinate me.
Anything, Graver, that jumps to mind for you? I think we got it covered, basically. Maybe it's just a kind of a humble brag in a way. Got it.
Like, everything that I'm trying to think of, we've at least covered on this show specifically. So I can't even, you know, like, maybe the Bills offensive coordinator situation is a bigger deal than we thought. Like, I just know from personal experience, the Titans changed offensive coordinator. Art Smith went and got the Falcons head coaching job, and everyone in Tennessee was like, oh, we're going to run the same offense. We're promoting from within, so it's going to be fine. And then the offense was a disaster for most of the year. I worry about that for the Bills. But we talked about that, like with Kyle Brandt, we talked about that. So I don't
Well, you know, that's a good point, though, because it has been covered because The Athletic just did a huge feature on that. It was last week. But in it, Kevin Gilbride, who talked about the first year that he called plays for the Oilers back then, that, you know, behind the scenes, he was panicking on a week-to-week basis because he had never called plays at that moment. And he talked about, like, years later, like your toolbox or your acumen and your ability in a panic situation in a tight two-minute drill to use more of your playbook came naturally. But in that first season, it was a huge mess. And Ken Dorsey has never done this. And Brian Daboll had years and years of experience. So I think that's a fair one.
All right. Let's move on. Steve Olvera asks, if you could change one play in NFL history and create a butterfly effect that would alter the current NFL landscape for all eternity, what play would you change? You know what? This one, it kind of popped into my head pretty quickly. I would go back to, I believe it was January 1993, maybe January 92, and the Bo Jackson hip injury he suffered in the playoffs that year with the Oakland Raiders. Bo Jackson, to this January 13th, 1991, against the Bengals in the divisional playoffs, he was tackled. He kind of was the tackler grabbed his leg. Bo Jackson lunged, and it led to a terrible hip injury that eventually fractured and dislocated hip. He had to have the hip replaced. It instantly ended his NFL career. He came back eventually in baseball, the first, you know, a huge two-sport star Bo was, but was never close to the same guy. And I, to this point in my life, I still don't think there was a more exciting, electrifying athlete than peak Bo Jackson and what he was able to do in two sports as an all-star. So that injury, as cruel as it was, I think he was 26, 27 years old. That would be my pick.
Remember watching that game. That's a great call. I mean, that completely changed the NFL because he was one of the most electrifying, jaw-dropping athletes of our time. I'd have to go. I'd be disingenuous if I didn't, and I won't spend a ton of time on this. Ernest Byner's fumble on January 17th, 1988 in the second AFC Championship against the Denver Broncos, where they lost that game 38-33. They were down 21-3 at half in Mile High. They had played their worst half of football the entire season and then came storming back to make it one of the best games of all time. And they wouldn't have gotten there to begin with without Ernest Byner, who was the kind of running back who was such a weapon out of the backfield as a pass receiver as well, that he fits so well into that offense and did everything for them. Kevin Mack was sick in that game, so it was all on Ernest Byner to basically handle the comeback from the backfield position, and he was glorious. And he had a couple plays that I think would have changed the way that we think about him entirely, because I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but Ernest Byner's fumble is the only thing most people know about him. And he went on to win a Super Bowl title with Washington, where he had an incredible season.
It was great that he had that moment.
I'm so glad he did. And I've met him in person. He is a genuinely wonderful guy who I think learned and taught other people about failure through that fumble and everything that happened. But I do think had they won that game, they went on to Denver went on to lose to Washington in a wipeout a couple weeks later. I think Cleveland could have given them a much better fight. And I was in seventh grade and it destroyed my world. I was walking around middle school like a ghost for like the next 2 months.
Sports, they can be tough as a fan. I've had moments like that myself, and you know exactly where you were when the heartbreak gets you. The old Parcells quote that he had to walk away when the losing hurt more than the winning felt good. It's kind of like the sports fan experience. Like, even when the great things have happened, those crushing losses, they just kind of hang with you a little bit more. All right, this one from Alex Everson. When is Mark's next solo holiday or vacation into a seedy motel? It feels like it has been some time since he has had a non-staycation trip, yet he's still been on the pod.
So this offseason, I've taken a different tack. The idea that I'm staying in seedy motels is not accurate.
We already clarified that they are 3- and 4-star even hotels.
They are, and they're typically dotted around town. I've learned that Los Angeles is about as good of a place on a staycation as I'll go anywhere else. And when you have kids and the whole thing going on, I'm not going to be going to India for 2 weeks. Although Greg is in Japan, but he's there's none of those type of adventures. So I like to do the little 2 or 3 day staycations that are dotted in between our shows. And I can't talk about much that occurs on these staycations.
He can't say everything, but just understand what you're hearing right now is the soundtrack of a Mark stay or vacation.
I like blasting this one out of the hotel window.
What else? You got one? You got one that you grabbed from the old mailbag?
Yes. If you could pick any guest to join for a podcast and after party, who would you pick and why? And I just copied the question, so I'm sorry if you were the one that sent this out. I didn't do that research, but no. It could be a person of history of the past too. I'm including anyone.
Right. Now,
they don't have to currently be alive.
Okay. That's an easy one. Napoleon.
Does he speak English?
No. Not a lick. We'll
so that's
a,
that would go about as well as today's guest appearance went.
Yeah. How about you?
I was thinking about this. This song, which was performed by the Weather Girls. Do we have this, Graver? I think we do.
It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men.
What's happening here?
The Weather Girls, who performed this song. I think it's an underrated song. I think we could have them come on. I like to have musicians on the show from time to time.
Are they all still with us? This song came out many, many decades ago.
Right, but I already said it doesn't. Like they would come back in their prime. You just had Napoleon on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember the night when I was not able to join you at the Cozy for New Year's, where from my house I had the app where you could play the Cozy's jukebox, and I played this song 19 times in a row.
Right. I don't know if it actually went through.
I think that technology-wise, they
got
that.
You. Yeah. And they kept the money, too. But a great idea.
Yeah, it seems unfair.
I would like maybe Lil Debbie, I'd like to maybe get Lil Debbie back on the show. I don't know if that's in the spirit of the question.
I would too, because I was telling someone the other week that that was a time that, you know, I did a lot of the legwork to get her on the show, and then she came in, and I was essentially sort of starstruck and not in my personality for like the first 16 minutes. And she was high as a kite.
Lil Debbie, so. Who's a accomplished Bay Area, I believe, rapper, and she came on the show a couple times about 5 years ago or so now. Big Raiders fan. Mark went alone, and was, I think you were like in the front row for a Lil Debbie concert.
Well, there were no seats, but I hovered around the room, but yes.
And then she came in, and when she came in, she had, her and her associates had, before the show, had
hotboxed in their car.
Hotboxed their car, yeah. And then came in and shared some goods with us, and then we had that conversation. I think it'd be cool to check in with her, especially in light of the Davante Adams acquisition by the Raiders. And
well, you know, she's tracking that very, very closely.
This from Corbin Dubois. See, some people might say Du Bois, and maybe it is, but I'm going to go with Corbin Dubois.
Well, you got the Quebec thing right, so I'm going to trust
Quebec?
You. Yeah.
Do you know that the Athletic NFL podcast declared there is now a car continuum, which feels a lot like it infringes on the Dalton scale IP? You may have to declare vengeance until you can have Nate Tice and Robert Mays on for some peacemaking. Listen, we're not the police of NFL podcasts. And I like both these gentlemen a lot. We've had Nate on the show several times, in fact. I don't know the details of the car continuum, if it's the same of what the Dalton scale is about. If it is, so be it. It wasn't our idea anyway. It was Chris Wessling's idea. So for us to police it, that I don't even think that passes the sniff test. So have fun with your football talk, especially in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't have a huge amount of energy right now to add like new grudges to the lineup. Some of them that I'm involved in aren't even
aware.
Well, I'm not even like enjoying them. They're not necessarily fun.
So yeah, keep on keeping on, Athletic. All right, a couple more. From Susanna H. This question, a better fit here versus... what does a quarterback have to accomplish to pass Tom Brady as the GOAT? It can't just be Super Bowl rings, right? Say you get 3 or 4 rings but are better in other metrics. What is a hypothetical resume that could compete with Brady? Good question. Let's start here. I think you need that team success. You have to have at least... I know Brady has 7. So we're talking, the conversation to me starts at 5 or so, right? And then on top of it now, Brady has been a monster statistical producer that's going to own every record. So I, not to be so obvious about it, but yeah, somebody's got to come along, play for 20-plus years and combine what the greatest statistical buildup ever with, you know, a handful of rings and then some. I don't know if it's going to happen, though.
I don't see it. I think it's longevity with no drop-off. And how about this? Winning Super Bowls with multiple teams. Because part of what Brady did, had he gone to Tampa Bay and they were a 10-win team the last couple of years, fine. But
you're
like
right.
The idea that he transformed what was a loser franchise into what they are now in one season kind of, in a lot of people's mind, ended the chicken or egg like Belichick-Brady debate to some degree. And I don't understand, number one, quarterbacks cannot control their longevity most 99% the way that Brady has. Whether they want to or not, their bodies start to give up at some point. And Brady's such an outlier on that front that you'd have to play for 20 years. Who's going to do that?
Yeah, the only thing I'd push back a little bit there on what you said was that the Bucks were kind of a team losers before he got there. He was very smart and he went to a team that was really well set up, except for they were like hanging on to this Jameis Winston dream, this dying dream that Winston was a true franchise leader and a quarterback. And now it gets me mad because I wish I would have said it when we did the Dalton scale conversation and Greg was pushing Winston up the list as he always seems to do. And isn't it interesting that the Bucks went from Jameis Winston, Mr. 30-30 season with that really strong roster around him, and they didn't go anywhere, to the next year, Brady comes in and they win the whole thing. It speaks to both Winston and Brady and their careers and what they've been able to accomplish or not accomplish. So, yeah, I think that team was a very good team that he made great.
The defense was really good. already. I mean, and they were really good that year, and they were really good in the Super Bowl, getting all the pressure on Mahomes. So Brady obviously is a huge factor and like is the kind of guy that motivates the rest of the team to play to their best level because they know they're super confident in the quarterback. But it was a really good team.
Well, no, at that time, it was a good setup for him. I sort of more mean the Bucs franchise historically outside of the John Gruden Super Bowl year. It's not, if I had to picture a post Patriots jersey that Tom Brady was wearing, the Bucs were not the first team that I thought of. It was a strange, I thought, match, but it was the right time and he maximized it.
Speaking of jerseys, I got one more here, Mark. This is from M. Boucher. Some people will say Butcher, but now I'm just, you know,
this is your new thing.
Here.
Like, I like that you're getting playful with the pronunciation.
This is a heat check. B-O-U-C-H-E-R.
Boucher.
Let's say Boucher. Hit me up, M. Boucher, and tell me if I'm right. What teams need jersey updates the most? Speaking of Tom Brady, I think the Patriots, the two teams that kind of spring to mind for me are the Patriots and the Broncos, who both had 1990s reboots, radical reboots of their classic logos. And if you were a sports fan or came of age in the 90s, like I did, Mark, you came of age in the 80s, but just
the 1880s.
So a lot of the 90s sports jerseys aged terribly immediately and eventually were replaced. I think the Flying Elvis for the Patriots is obviously tricky because of Tom Brady. They won 6 Super Bowls with the Flying Elvis jersey. So it'd be really weird to abandon that at this point and go back to Pat Patriot and the red, although they're going to have a throwback jersey in a game this season. So, but I just think that's a superior look for them. The Broncos have never been all totally on board with their reboot. But now that I think about it, they've won 3 Super Bowls since 97. And that came immediately after they rebooted out of their original classic Orange Crush. So they have a similar issue with that. So, you know, one man's opinion. I'm not a big fan of those jerseys, but it's complicated by their success.
I would add the Carolina Panthers. I am tired of the way they look, and I think they need a reboot.
You're saying more pounding in terms of the think tank.
I would pound that issue.
Yeah. You would keep pounding.
Yes.
Until someone listens.
Additional pounding.
Additional pounding.
All right. Do you have anything else? But
how about this? A player that underperformed last year that you, like money in the bank, you have them rounding back into shape and becoming what we think they can become. Here's where I'm going with this. Lamar Jackson. Coming off an injury-plagued, messy
season.
Who's
this from? Who's this? Who asked this question?
I, again, did not track the name. I mean, this is, I
think how cool it would be if you're your favorite show.
How about while you answer, I will look for this and come
and
up with the name.
And it's obviously presumptuous of me to say that whoever sent that, this is their favorite show. But obviously it's a podcast they like enough that they sent in the question. And what a thrill it would be for you to say their name.
I think you've made the point. I am looking right now for...
I've been bloviating for so long that I don't even remember what the question was, Mark. What was it?
A player that had underperformed a year ago and is bound to have a rebound season.
A big bounce back year.
Yes.
I like that one. Let's see. Looking at the old... And you got Lamar Jackson?
Yep. You got to really wax poetic because I'm cycling through these tweets here.
All right. I'll throw one out there. Allen Robinson.
I like that.
Completely disappeared in his final season in Chicago. Now that you could, depending how you look at it, you can see that is... That might have quit on that team a little bit, but hey, that was a rough team to be involved with the final year with Matt Nagy and all the struggles they had, and a rookie, Justin Fields, who was feeling his way through things. You know, you had late period Andy Dalton involved. It was just a tough time to be on that offense. But I think fresh start with the Rams, the defending champions, you have in Cooper Kupp, a big-time number one receiver who's going to attract a lot of attention. It's possible that Odell Beckham returns to the fold there still. You have a great quarterback in Matt Stafford, obviously, and a great play caller in Sean McVay. So Allen Robinson with the season that, you know, puts him back in Pro Bowl consideration. How about that?
And I have an update.
Okay.
That
Did
tweet.
You even hear anything I just said? Be honest.
Not a word.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead. The
it sounded competent. I mean, from a distance.
Okay, good.
The tweet came from Alex Smith. 1257. So either now, 1267.
The number could have an incredible amount of meaning to Alex Smith.
I think it may, perhaps born in December 1967.
Well, now you're being presumptive again.
Or potentially a Russian bot, because I don't know too many people that do that with at the end of their tagline numbers.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex, for the question. What a thrill it must have been to hear your name. And so you say Lamar Jackson. I got Allen Robinson.
Oh, you did. I didn't even notice that. I wasn't even listening to that part. That's a good answer.
Thanks, buddy. All right. Good. Let's close it up. Let's sign off.
Perhaps for the last time.
Mom just picked up the phone, and you heard, you know, when somebody picks up the phone when you're online in the old dial-up days, no bueno.
Oh, can I tell you one little quick thing that happened to me that caused massive anxiety?
Sure.
So, remember like
I'm online.
Total Phone, which was like three-way calling, essentially?
Yeah.
This was like seventh, eighth grade, and my parents had a bunch of people over, and I was in my room.
What kind of party was this for the parents?
That was like a dinner party with a bunch of drinking.
Eyes Wide Shut type situation?
Well, I not that I saw, okay, but I wouldn't put it past them. But like, I had a friend call up this girl that I liked named Robin Herman. And so my friend, like without her knowing that I was on the line, was doing
some
groundwork on like this Mark Sessler. Do you think that maybe he's someone you would like to like?
I'm already feeling secondhand anxiety.
In the middle of this call, in the kitchen, one of the ladies that had come over picked up to call home to find out what's going on with the sitter, something like that. And all I could hear is, "Hey, Barb Sessler, what's going on here? It seems like someone's on the phone." I'm like, "Whoa, So I basically like everyone hung up as quick as possible. But it was a totally unmasked and. But I did end up going on a few. I went to a dance with her, so it worked out in the end.
And you now have two kids together, so.
That's where my daughter came from. No, that's not true.
People were curious. This is actually for my submission from the mailbag. A lot of people reaching out and saying it was mentioned that Mark had a 24-year-old daughter on our last episode. And that was kind of glossed over. Do you want to get into any specifics there?
I don't think that's wise. I think we've said enough.
Like Kayvon Thibodeau, sometimes you just got to say next question. Smart. Thank you to Kayvon Thibodeau, who will be back on the field and ready for training camp. You heard it here first. Please cite us properly in the news. We'll be back on Thursday, maybe, with another episode and maybe a guest. I don't know. We'll see. Greg is in Japan. Safe journey while he's there. See you next week, buddy. But we got one more show to do, bud.
One at least.
Heed that call.
Welcome to This Guy Gets It with Mark Sessler. Today's episode, the National Football League's Great Debate, Artificial Turf or Natural Grass, featuring special guest Kayvon Thibodeau. And now, your host, Mark Sessler.
Thank you for joining us this week. You know, for decades, pro football has been dogged by one burning question that refuses to go away. To nobody's surprise, it is a question of playing surface. 16 NFL teams operate on real grass. The other 16 wage battle on artificial turf. This, of course, raises an ethical question. Is it proper to ask players to perform on artificial surfaces when they could perform their duties on Bermuda grass, Kentucky bluegrass, or even swaths of Deso Grassmaster? Kayvon, where do you come down on this pivotal issue that we must confront?
I'm a grass guy. I think I'll always be a grass guy. We are from nature. We come, you know, we are natural beings. So I think performing everything on grass is just the smartest, safest way to go.
Join us next week when we dive deep into the topic of referee outerwear. Is it time for us to rethink how these hardworking officials are dressed in 2022?
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.